Part 2. A Lonely Island.
There are certain idiosyncratic notions that you quietly come to accept when you live for a long time in Britain. One is that British summers used to be longer and sunnier. Another is that the England football team shouldn't have any trouble with Norway. A third is the idea that Britain is a big place. This last is easily the most intractable. If you mention in the pub that you intend to drive from, say, Surrey to Cornwall, a distance that most Americans would happily go to get a taco, your companions will puff their cheeks, look knowingly at each other, and blow out air as if to say, "Well, now that's a bit of a tall order." And then they'll launch into a lively and protracted discussion of whether it's better to take the A30 to Stockbridge and then the A303 to Ilchester or the A361 to Glastonbury via Shepton Mallet. The fact is that the British have a totally private sense of distance. This is most visibly seen in the shared pretense that Britain is a lonely island in the middle of an empty green sea. Oh, yes, I know you are all aware, in an abstract sort of way, that there is a substantial landmass called Europe nearby, and that from time to time it is necessary to go over there to give old Jerry a drubbing or have a holiday on the Med. But it's not nearby in any meaningful sense, in the way that, say, Disney World is. If your concept of world geography was shaped entirely by what you read in the papers and saw on television, you would have no choice but to conclude that America must be about where Ireland is, that France and Germany lie roughly alongside the Azores, that Australia occupies a hot zone somewhere in the region of the Middle East, and that pretty much all the other sovereign states are either mythical, viz. Burundi, El Salvador, Mongolia, and Bhutan, or can only be reached by spaceship. I can remember, after I'd been living about a year in Bournemouth and bought my first car, fiddling with the car radio, and being astounded at how many of the stations it picked up were in French. Then looking at a map and being even more astounded to realize that I was closer to Cherbourg than I was to London. I mentioned this at work the next day, and most of my colleagues refused to believe it. Even when I showed them on a map, they frowned doubtfully and said things like, "Well, yes, it may be closer in a strict physical sense," as if I were splitting hairs and that really a whole new concept of distance was required once you waded into the English Channel. And of course, to that extent, they were right.